Last time on Wanderlust. It's at this point that the eco herb of Smoky Banks kind of holds a, like, what I would think of as like a midnight memorial service. So there were deaths that happened because of this. Loss was felt pretty palpably by the town. It's uncommon that there is this much destruction. I appreciate all of you coming out. I'm sure it's a little odd being here with being kind of new to town. This would usually be the time I would begrudgingly be seeking out the help of Mal, and she is not here. So here's what I'm kind of thinking.
Do you have something for us?
Find out what caused this, because it wasn't a storm off the ocean, and it wasn't normal weather patterns. Something caused this storm, and I've got no one else to ask. So find out for me and put a permanent stop to it. And then you just see, like, a door open, and Willow, like, sticks her head out, and she just goes, "Well, hello there. Come on back." And then she, like, kind of, like, pats her and goes, "Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. Everyone's gonna love it." So you decided to go for literally the opposite. You went from a desert oasis to a place where it rains every day and most nights.
Yep, and the ocean is new and different, and I've realized now that I should learn to swim sometime.
All right, so I want everyone in the eco-herb listening to not worry too much. After this, we're getting autumn swimming lessons, all right? I'll be the first to volunteer to help. I've been swimming my whole life. What do you think people need to take away from all of this information that you just gave them?
Just because things are difficult or we don't always get along with community doesn't mean it's not worth trying to save that community.
And she, like, gets in her bag and rummages around and pulls out, like, a big, you know, felt-tip pen and pops the cap off, and she grabs your hand and holds it and writes a time, like, you know, probably like sometime in the evening, meet on the beach this date. She's like, "You are getting swim lessons from me at this time. Don't be late."
So Autumn blushes and turns an even deeper red, and then, like, hurriedly walks out.
We are in a secret society that is not supposed to tell the whole town that there are monsters, because I don't want the whole town to leave.
I didn't tell them about the secret society. That's a win, right? Trying to get them to not know about the wilds isn't going to make them fear it less. It's going to make them fear it more when anything could be out there. I am offering them a glimpse into what's out there and keeping them in town.
I guess, cool, and just kind of, like, wanders off, like, mumbling to himself, because now this is what he has to deal with.
Autumn watches him go away, and then she just goes, "I got a date!"
Estelle, it's very awkward for you right now. You're living on a couch, which you haven't had to do in a long time, and you just haven't seen Matthew that much recently. You kind of keep trying to, like, find him and catch him. Usually he's just always there, and suddenly when he's not just in your living room all the time, like, catching something on fire and cooking you weird food, it's, like, odd how much effort it takes just to be on the same page, right? He doesn't work the same shift as you. He is seemingly constantly surrounded by a gaggle of people that you don't know that he's talking to. But you remember that you had something that you wanted to, you know, give him. So just make the really solid mom move of going, like, "You know what? I'm just gonna find him." So you start heading down towards the Warrens. The Warrens, in some ways, saw the worst of the destruction from the storm. They were almost entirely flooded, but the flip side of that is they were kind of a gnarly pirate ship to begin with, and the whole structure used to be underwater because it was part of, like, a storm sewer. So on the one hand, you can tell that basically everything in here was at one point underwater and now no longer is, so it's a little bit weird. But on the other hand, what was down here wasn't that great to begin with, so it's no great loss, and it's a bunch of kids anyways, so who cares?
Well, and there were probably like a couple days where kids were like going back to parents or like sleeping in the lofts on the floor, like while things dried out.
Yeah. And there was a lot of effort made down here because it was like a pretty big living space that needed a lot of attention pretty quick. Mm-hmm. But you make your way down into the Warrens, and it is the chaos it always is. There is a decidedly palpable smell that has gotten more interesting as time has gone on. It's just like a lot of young people running around. There's just constant shouting. It's like you're getting knocked over by skateboards as you're making your way through this storm sewer. You can hear like loud music and arguments. You probably like pass like a few fights, but not like bad fights, just like stupid teenager push fights, you know, as you go down. You kind of generally know the area that Matthew has been living in. So, like, you make your way to this little shack, and it's like, it looks like what would happen. And I'm going to say this as your husband. Imagine if I took apart a small house and carried it piece by piece into a storm sewer and then rebuilt it myself based largely on memory.
Okay.
Just imagine me doing that. That's what it looks like. Okay. So like you go up and like press on a doorbell, and when you take your finger off, the doorbell just falls on the ground.
I'm going to wait until I'm not welcome here.
Nothing happens when you press the doorbell.
Okay, then I knock.
So when you knock, it's like you go like thump, thump, crunch, and you can like feel the door kind of like give a little bit. And then you just hear someone go, "Just a minute!" And you hear like thump, thump, thump of someone like going down steps, then thump of someone going down the rest of the steps suddenly. And then someone pulls open the door, and you see like a guy who like looks a little dazed. He's wearing, like, an ill-fitting t-shirt and boxer shorts and just goes, "Huh, yeah, what's going on?"
"Hey, sorry, I'm looking for Matthew."
"Maddie! Maddie! There's a, an old lady, there's a nice, like, how should I announce you?"
Tell him his mom's here.
"Maddie, your mom's here! Maddie!" He just kind of like wanders away, and you're just like, the doors open to like this living space. It's really dark. It's all wood, like bare wood. There's no carpet anywhere. It's just like board floors, and it's pretty dark because there's no natural light down here, or at least not very much. So there's probably like some reflected down through mirrors, but there is just like bare light bulbs hanging every so often. And as this kid just like wanders off, you like look back into the house, and you can see that there's like this mess of a house and then a pristine kitchen. And you just see you see Matthew like lean a head back, and then you see like a girl's head lean back out of the kitchen too. And she just goes, "Is that your mom?" And like, she just runs around and gives you a giant hug.
Hi.
"Hi. My name is Alexis, but just call me Alexis. It's fine. Anyways, hi. I'm one of Maddie's friends, and you're his mom, and isn't he great? We just love having him here. The food is so good now, and the kitchen's clean. Oh, it's so good to me. I've been bugging him. I've been telling him we need to meet you, and it just hasn't happened yet. Anyways, hi, it's so great to finally meet you."
"Hi, Alexis. It's nice to meet you, too. Do you mind if I steal Maddie for a second?"
He like sticks his head back out and just goes, "Just come in, mom. Just come in. I know how it looks. Just come in. It's fine. The house isn't going to fall down. All right. And look, if anything goes wrong, you've got Goffy to protect you. You can come into the house. It's all right."
Yeah, she'll go in and go back to the kitchen.
As soon as you walk in, it's weird because on the one hand, it's like this place is like an alien disaster. But then on the other hand, as soon as you walk in, it smells just like home because it smells like Matthew's cooking.
Yeah.
You walk back into the kitchen, and he's cooking, like, a meal that he's made for the two of you 1,000 times, and he just goes, "It's great to see you, Mom. It's been a minute. Would you like to join us for lunch? I'm just making lunch for everybody."
If I'm invited, yeah, sure.
Of course you're invited. Why wouldn't you be invited?
I'm a little bit older than all of you.
Yeah, and look, if I'm being honest, like, the rest of the people that live here, they don't exactly, like, they're not very well behaved, if we're being honest, but, you know, and, like, Alexis slaps him on the shoulder and just, like, goes and sits on a couch someplace. But, what's going on, Mom? Nice to see you. What's going on?
Yeah, so, and she kind of, like, makes sure they're, like, on the side of the wall where she can talk a little bit lower. So, do you remember how I told you I'd bring you something back?
Did you bring me back a dead animal?
No.
Did you bring me back meat?
No, I didn't bring you meat.
Did you bring me back meat?
No, but I did. Stop. Just wait. So first she takes out, like, a small container of, like, the mushrooms. The white mushrooms.
He looks at me and goes, Mom! this is like stuffing them under a... Really? Just out here in the open? Just mushrooms? Just out in the open?
What do you mean?
Oh, these are food. These are food. Sorry. Yeah. These are food.
Yes, they're food.
I've never seen other kinds of... I've never seen anything other than... Food. Got it? These are food.
I don't need to hear about that. And then she takes out the nutritional canister and, like... Actually, no, I'm sorry. She didn't take it out. She opens the bag that she brought to show him because the other thing is all of those little flavor thimbles. So she opens the bag and shows him and she says, all right, so I found this really weird place out there. I cannot guarantee I will ever find something like this again. This, and she holds up the nutritional canister, this seems to be the food part. And all of these seem to be the flavors. Now, knowing you and your expertise, you might be able to recreate some of this as you try it, but these are all for you.
So you found random food bits in the wild and brought them back to me, and they're like, somehow this turns into, like, real good-tasting food, and we might never get these again.
You might never get these again. That's all I know. I figured you would be able to do something with it because you're talented like that.
Hang on one second. And he just, like, slides open a door in the kitchen and just goes, lunch is ready! It's on the table! And he just, like, throws a bowl on a table, slams the door shut, like, closes a window, closes a curtain, locks everything, and just, like, starts setting out plates. And he goes, oh, yeah, we're gonna eat all this! And just, like, starts, like, dicing up all of the bits and, like, experimenting with all the things. And you spend, like, there's, like, people knocking on the door. And he's just like, leave me alone! And is just, like, making tiny little foods for the both of you out of all of these random little ingredients that he has.
Perfect.
All right. Now, the next part of this is going to be a little awkward, right? Because I kind of have to explain how the economy works to all of you real quick. And I think this is mostly going to be relevant for Fred, and then we'll get to a few other things. And I want to do this on recording because it's relevant for the system and whatnot. So, a brief overview of the way that I imagine money working here. So, like we said during world building, there is money that is exchanged for, like, non-necessity level goods, right? So if you guys do extra crafts, you can earn money for doing that, and then you can exchange those for other goods, right? The way that that basically means is this is how you guys will get other items that you can bring with you into the wilds and use, right? So you have, like, four levels of things that you can make or buy, which is trinkets, tools, vehicles, and structures, right? So a trinket is basically something, you know, the size of a pocket knife, right? Like, that would be a trinket. It's the size of something you could fit in your pocket. Generally, there might not be a ton of mechanical value for something like a trinket. If you can justify a way that you're using something of it, because it's like a silhouette size, right? If you can justify how you're using a trinket for something in the wilds, I'm not going to fight you on it. And I like the idea of calling them stamps because money is entirely abstract, so it's just stamped out of whatever thing that they can make to, like, make a smoky bank coin, you know? So it's all, like, just physical coins, and those are just stamped out of whatever material they can be stamped out of. So there isn't as much, like, control on, like, counterfeiting and stuff like that. It's just not the main focus of money. Because
don't give Fred ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if Fred really wanted to, he could definitely make counterfeit stamps. The thing is, like, your stamps are only as good as your word, basically. So, like, if the whole town doesn't trust you, they just won't take your stamps anymore. Because you won't starve. You won't be homeless anymore. It's not like it'll ruin your life. It's just you won't be able to buy random trinkets from other people. So, trinkets generally cost one stamp, right? Or one credit, whatever. Tools cost three. Tools are basically, like, something the size of an axe or a sword. So, like, Fred, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about making for everybody would be, like, a tool-sized item that you're trying to craft, basically.
Okay.
Then there's vehicles. Those cost 20 credits. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. That's, like, a large machine that is mobile, right? Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. There's actually five levels. Then there's machines. Machines would be something that's, like, the equivalent of a chainsaw. So, like, if this is pretty big, not necessarily a vehicle size, but, like, the size of a washing machine or smaller, and that it, like, does some work for you, that is a machine. Those cost 10 credits. And mechanically, those can basically give you a permanent aspect or be a stunt. Like, they can add a stunt to your character sheet by having a machine. Tools do that thing we talked about where if you use a tool, you add shift if you're successful. So, like, if you use a tool, it doesn't make your roll better. It adds shift on top of a successful roll. A machine adds an aspect. A vehicle basically would get its own cart, would get its own, like, character sheet, right? If you guys spent the money to make a vehicle, you're getting, like, the honor in this game. That's going to have its own character sheet, its own aspects, its own skills, and you guys will use that like a ship. And then structures are, if you guys decide you want to build a clubhouse, that costs a ton of credits. I don't know that you're ever going to get to that point, but that's kind of how it works. Now, crafting these things, and Fred, this is going to be what's relevant to you. Trinkets are free to make, so you can make as many trinkets as you can try to make, and it'll be down to a skill roll, basically how many successful trinkets you make. Tools require either one credit of investment of materials, or, you know, one stamp of investment of materials, or you have to have the raw materials yourself. So, like, for a lot of the tools you want to make, you have that metal that you found in the wild that essentially you can turn into other tools. Does that make sense? And that's down to a roll to see how well you make a tool, right? So if you roll terribly, you won't get it. It'll just waste the material or waste the credit. If you roll really well, you get a good tool. If you want to make a machine and then sell it, it costs 5 credits. You make 10 and it takes a successful roll. Vehicles to make would cost 10 credits. You have to make rolls to make it, and it takes a time. Like, you don't just get it immediately. And then structures cost 60 credits, and it requires a lot of rolls, and it requires help from other people. Now, the other thing I will say where this is relevant for crafting, for Estelle and Autumn, you guys had mentioned getting, like, solar boards. If you want to make your own, 10 credits, plus you have to make a roll or have someone else make a roll for you to do that, or it costs 20 credits to get a solar board from nothing. So, the way now that you guys earn money is kind of different for each... What's up, Zach?
So, something like a flashlight, would that be a trinket or a tool? I'm asking because it, like, is more of a tool in function, but in size it's a trinket.
I think I would probably consider that to be a trinket, just because it's, like, it's so small and relatively inexpensive to make, I would think.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious. And then, so, like, a book would also be, like, something like a trinket then, right?
Yes. Yes.
Because it doesn't have any of the function of a tool.
Right. Yeah, like, in this case, basically what it is, mechanically what I'm telling you is you have to spend 3 stamps to get something that gives you shift on a roll. Or you have to spend 5 to get something that gives you, or 10, rather, to get something that gives you a new aspect. Does that kind of make sense?
Okay, no, yeah, no, that's completely fine. I'm just trying to make sure I understand before I'm like...
So I have another question. How does Autumn envision earning stamps, or does she?
Think she does a lot of, like, she does a lot of the manual labor for building the new solarium.
I like that idea. Okay, cool. I think that's useful, yeah.
Would that be a paid thing, or is that, like, just community pitching? Because if it's community pitching, I can find something else.
I think it's basically, like, both, and will... Okay, no, that's fine.
Okay.
I understand
it probably depends on, like, the amount you do it.
Right, right, right. So basically, the way I imagine this breaking down is sort of like two things. On the one hand, I want to encourage you guys to like interact with, and it seems bad to say like farm the wild, but a little bit like in the way that Juliet did, where she like made sketches, found things, stuff like that. I want to give you guys opportunities to earn credits by going out into the wilds. And then at the same time, I want there to be in-town stuff. What I'm concerned with that is that that might not work out. Like, some people might earn more credits than other people. I'll do my best to try to balance that out, so that way I'm not overly favoring one of you, where it's like, honestly, I'm guessing if I go by the rules that I made, Fred and Estelle have by far the most opportunity to earn money, because they both actively have skills that they can sell. Whereas it's Juliet is kind of like somewhere in between, and then Autumn by far has the least like amount of opportunity to earn money, and I'm not going to intentionally do that. So I'll try to balance it as a GM, but it's also going to be down to rules. So keep that in mind. This is like a work in progress for the economy, but that's generally how this is going to work out. So now, in terms of earning money, I think who I'm going to start with how this is going to work is with Estelle. So Estelle, you are like in this interim time before you guys go back out into the wilds again, you've been working at your veterinarian office.
Yes.
It's busier than you would want it to be. Like, unfortunately, like there was a pretty large disaster, so a lot of people have injured pets. And there's also just been like a lot of like backlog of people wanting to bring their pets into a vet who is missing.
I was going to say, yeah, it's been a while since Dr. Reese has been out.
Right, right. So that looks pretty busy for you. So there's like a pretty large amount of time here where you're like seeing people pretty frequently, like probably specifically, you know, there's like an instance where like Honey comes in and is like, oh, can you take a look? And she has like a little shaky dog, you know, who's just like big eyes, just nervous, shaking, you know, and you like check him over and it's like, there's nothing wrong with him, but he poops and vomits all the time. He's just a mess. He's a gross dog, you know, but that's definitely the type of dog that she would have. So make me like a business roll to see how well you do as a vet. And basically the way this works is it's a regular fate roll where you're using just one of your skills, right?
Animal handling?
Yeah. Whatever your like main veterinarian skill is.
Wow, that is awful. Two.
Two?
Yeah. I rolled three minuses and a plus.
Gotcha. So I will say like at a base, doing this job for the amount of time that you do it, you earn like, let's say, two credits, right? And then on top of that, basically, you're making such a sad face. So you earn two credits just normally by doing the job. Just like basically every time you come to town, as long as you're like, I do vet, you get two credits. And then I'll say on top of that, like between helping Honey out with her very shaky dog and just with the larger number of people that you've had come in due to like, you know, it's like a lot of animals with like broken arms and stuff like that, unfortunately, but it's what happens when there's a bunch of disasters.
Well, and I kind of imagine that like the garden animals also have to be checked over.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
The town, at least this time, probably like pitches in a little bit considering like, I think Estelle's basically been working overtime.
Yep. So then you earn an extra two credits for that role, basically, on top of that, which brings it to a total of four.
Cool.
Meanwhile, Autumn, you've spent, you know, a lot of time working just like lifting bags and, you know, like pouring concrete and, you know, like just running materials back and forth. So make me some kind of like physical role for doing stuff.
Like athletics?
Like athletics.
Man, I rolled terrible. Oh my god. I got a plus two.
Okay, so same thing as Estelle. Like, you basically earn four credits by just carrying a lot of bags. You do a really good job. That adds an extra two credits on top of it. All right, so, Fred, you finally get to open your business, right? It's kind of like the first time you've been in town with enough time to, like, really be doing your business, right? Because you left pretty quickly before. This is now like the markets are open. You're actually seeing a huge influx of new people because of so many people working to build the new solariums. So there's actually like not tourists, but just like workers from other eco-herbs that have come in to help you guys out for a while, basically, as like people have, you know, as there's like community to spare. So what I want you to do is just tell me what you imagine your shop looking like for, like, the average person that might come and visit it.
So his shop looks like just kind of a general blacksmith shop. He's got his forge and anvil and all that stuff set up on, like, kind of like one side of it. Kind of like one half of it is all his, like, equipment for making his stuff. And then the other half, kind of that's toward the front door, is more like a shop front where he has, like, examples of things he's made. So, like, you'll see just the occasional tool. He has, like, some stockpile of general tools, like shovels and hammers and axes and stuff, like just generic stuff like that people might want, but not a whole lot of, like, specialty stuff, because obviously you don't want to make a specialty thing until someone orders it.
So you primarily imagine yourself making, like, pretty, like, practical tools, right?
That's what he has in the front. He's open to taking commissions if someone has an idea of something. He'll make stuff custom or bespoke or whatever they're looking for.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, now we get to play this fun game. Give me a one word description of the type of customer you want to have.
Respectable. No, I'm just kidding.
The worst.
You knew I had to do it. You knew I had to do it.
It's one of the few good running jokes we have. We have a lot of bad running jokes. It's one of the ones that I think is decent.
I think every single one of our running jokes is good, and I hate every single one that everyone makes. It's like, this is a good running joke. Now stop it.
So you're saying the best was Spagic.
I won't.
I will end this podcast right now.
I regret nothing.
Gosh, I don't know.
I think we need to start just having maybe a link on World Anvil of description words.
Right. I'm trying to think, how heavily do I lean into the used car salesman?
As heavily as you want, man.
Just go gullible.
That's exactly the word. That's literally the word I was thinking of, was gullible.
Okay. So you are sitting in your shop and you're just kind of, like, shoring up your inventory and maybe, like, messing around with that new metal, you know?
Yeah, that is something I wanted to do, is mess around with this metal and figure out what stuff it can do. But
Right. And so as you're there kind of, like, tinkering around, it's kind of uncommon really yet, like, you're not super well known, but you hear the front of your shop, like, that door open and close, and you look out and see a very, like, you know that look when you can tell someone doesn't know why they're there or what they're doing? See a dude with that look on his face.
Okay. Oh, hey there, welcome to my shop. What can I do for you?
So, check this out, right? Here's the deal. I'm a neighbor, right? My name's Gil. I'm not, like, that kind of name. I'm from one of the other eco-herbs. Sorry. I got off the boat 2 days ago, and I've basically just been hammering nails ever since. Sorry. I'm real tired. It's been a lot. Anyways, I never sleep good when I get to a new place. Doesn't matter. So, hi. I'm Gil. I also work with hammers, but they're different. Doesn't matter. My point is, all right, I'm on top of those new solariums, hammering some nails into some rafters. I slip, hit my thumb, I scream, fling my hand back, hammer falls down into the Warrens, right? Clatter, 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 blump, falls in the water. I go down into the Warrens to try to get my hammer back, and somehow, I swear to you, I feel like I left and it's like my wallet's gone and I smell worse now. And I think a kid said he was going to beat me up. It got crazy. Point is, need a hammer. And it seems like your shop had the prettiest looking hammers. So here's the deal. I'll pay good money. Just make me something nice. It's all I need. All right?
Oh, for sure. I can definitely make a nice new hammer. What type of hammer are we looking at? Are we looking at like a fortune hammer? I think you said you were working on the roof. So I guess maybe a roofing hammer? Framing hammer?
Like a framing hammer, like a really nice framing hammer. Yes, that's what I need. Now, look, I've always kind of thought, and he, like, draws out, like, it's a little bit embarrassing. It's like he wants, like, sick flames on his hammer, like, etched in, you know? And he's like, and also if you could put, like, Gil in, like, you know, like, etch it in, you know? I just want it to feel like it's mine, you know, like the hammer that I had for a long time, and I think it got stolen. Doesn't matter. I get it. I dropped it. It's my fault. But yeah, so you could hook me up with that. That would be great. But yeah, see what you can do. All right. You know, if it looks great, it looks great.
Oh, for sure there. So I'm thinking I could probably do something with like a Damascus blend to make that like little pattern pop out, some more. And thinking with that and with all the customization stuff on it, I'm thinking it'd probably be in the neighborhood of, 5 credits, five stamps.
You say that and he like slow blinks. Make me a like some kind of like convince or whatever roll.
Rapport
works, yeah.
Oh gosh, that was bad. It's a one. I rolled really bad.
He like looks at you and just goes, I'll tell you what, here's what I'll do. And he puts 3 stamps down and goes, I think we know this is what a hammer is actually worth, right? Now I've got 2 more. If I come back and that hammer somehow can drive nails better than any ever hammer has, I'll give you 1 credit more. And if it also looks as good as I described it looking and doesn't look like trash, I'll give you the other 1. All right? So make an amazing hammer, you get 5. Make a normal hammer, you're getting 3. Okay? I'm building you guys a new solarium, so that's the deal.
All right, yeah, I think that seems fair.
That's fair. All right. And he like leaves and you see him like go and walk over to another stall and like get a cup of like tea and just like sit on a bench and basically fall asleep.
So I've decided something about Fred. When I originally described him on podcast, I part of the description was he like makes substandard stuff and kind of like take shortcuts. I don't think I like that angle. I think what I'm going to go with instead is he always tries to overcharge. Like he haggles for everything. He tries to overcharge like I just did. And he also tries to upsell whenever he can.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
That's the angle I'm going. I think that's the angle I'm going to go with. I don't know. I don't like the idea of, especially if I'm selling things to people in town, I don't want them to break on them. I don't like that idea.
And when there's only so long you can screw people before they just stop coming in.
Right. All right. So I guess I start working on his hammer.
Yeah. So now this is where to make a hammer. Well, I guess, are you using that new metal or are you using like whatever, just other metal?
So I think here's the idea. I think I'm going to, for the majority of the hammer. Well, I guess what are the properties of this metal? I know we have some of the properties, but like, is there any more I can learn about that metal?
So it is softer than steel, but not as soft as aluminum. And you haven't tried hardening it yet, like heating and quenching it to harden it. And it holds heat for a long time, and it glows.
It holds heat or it holds light? I thought last time we talked about it, it glowed, but it wasn't hot, right?
Sorry, it was hot. It wasn't melting your skin hot.
Okay.
But it was definitely, like, while it was glowing, it was warm to the touch, but it was not like, it wasn't like melting your skin. You know, it was warm to the touch, not burning off your fingerprints.
Okay. So I'm trying to think how I want to do this, since I have a limited supply of that metal.
So let me tell you, like, mechanically what I will say for this. If you use the metal, you will lose weight of that metal.
Right.
But if you use, and this is like hand wavy in an abstraction, if you use some of the metal, you could mix it with steel, right? Like if you wanted to do like accents with it, but still have the hammer be largely made out of steel, that's fine. But it means we'll just negate the cost of trying to make a tool, and it'll be free to try to make, but you lose some of the metal no matter what. Or if you go, I'm not using any of this metal, it costs 1 credit to try to make a hammer. So if you completely fail the roll, you just lose the credit and have to try again. But so
I guess that's another question. Is this all of the metal, just general metal I have? Because I remember before we went out in the wilds the first time, I brought back a bunch of like scrap iron and stuff. scrap steel.
So the abstraction of the way the economy works, if you want to spend the resources necessary to make a tool, it costs a credit.
Okay.
So we don't have to get specific with it. That is the abstraction. Using that metal that you got from the wild makes it free because, like, the work is finding random materials in the wild that you want to use, but you have a very limited supply of that, okay, right? Like, I don't know how much you're carried back of it, but that's all you have.
Now, the question is, do I have any credits?
No, but I'll allow you to go into debt to try to make a hammer.
Okay.
You can get a loan of one credit to see if you can get three.
Okay, so here's what I'm thinking for the hammer. It'll mostly...
Oh, yeah, you have credits. He paid you 3 credits to make the hammer. Yeah.
Well, I thought that was... I didn't get that until after, but...
No, he paid you up front. Yeah, and then it's two more. Yeah, so actually, yeah, you have 3 credits.
Okay. So what I'm imagining is it's mostly made out of fairly standard steel. You said the mystery metal was pretty soft?
Softer, yeah.
Can I... Before I make this hammer, can I try hardening it? Like, I'm willing to sacrifice some of it to try hardening it, just to see what it does.
Make me some kind of craft check, yeah.
That is a 4.
So, you can harden it, and so this is where, like, whatever, minutiae of metal. Like, if you're using tool steel, you're usually not using tool steel on tool steel. So tool steel would break this, but, or even while it was hot, this would be able to form mild steel. It would not be able to form hardened steel. Hardened steel would beat it, but it is, after being hardened, it is harder than mild steel.
Okay.
So it wouldn't just immediately wear off if it hit a nail.
Right. Okay. That's good to know. All right. So what I'm thinking I want to do is I want to make the striking surface, like the majority of the hammer, like the bulk of it will be just regular steel, like tool steel, or whatever, I don't know the terms, whatever you normally make hammers out of.
Sure.
However, I don't really know how you would even do this in real life, but I want the striking surface and the flame accents. So I imagine this is actually a, like, metal-handled hammer.
Sure.
Instead of a wood handle. The accents and the striking surface are the flames. Or, is the mystery metal. So, striking surface and the flame accent is mystery metal.
Okay, so make me a crafting roll.
Come on, crafting. That is a 6.
Okay, cool. So, he comes back in, and this is maybe, you know, whatever, some hours later, he comes back in. He looks a little bit more, like, bright-eyed and just goes, "All right, feeling more awake. Let's see this hammer. Hopefully, you know, I gave you 3 credits. Hopefully that wasn't a mistake. Let's see what you got."
All right. So take a look at this. All right. So I found this interesting metal that I'd never really seen before. And I kind of used it to form the striking surface and the accents here. It's got a really nice and hard. It won't break under while hitting nails. And now watch this. And he kind of gets it. He doesn't put it all the way in the forge. Kind of gets it just into the forge just enough so it starts to glow. And you see the flames glowing. The flame on the accent.
He looks at it and goes, all right, you know, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty." And then he, like, reaches into his pocket and pulls out a nail and just, like, puts it on a board that you'd have, you know, laying around someplace and goes,
"Right,
we're just gonna give it a shot." And he, like, swings and hammers, and when it does, it sparks because of that, like, slightly softer metal just makes, like, a little burst of sparks. And he goes, "All right, yeah, that's really cool. It's cool. I can't fight with you on this one. It's pretty cool that I have a hammer that shoots sparks and glows. Do you just have to stick it near a fire to get it to glow like that?"
Yeah, just kind of, a little bit in a fire. It does get a little warm, but it doesn't, like, burn your hand. Just be careful with it. It will glow for quite a while after you take it out.
Oh, so it gets, like, warm and would, like, keep me warm if my hands were getting cold while I was hammering nails?
Yeah, I guess it could do that.
And he just, like, slides 2 credits over and goes, "I'll be back. I think a lot of people are going to want these. This is really cool." And he, like, goes out, like, spinning the hammer, and he's like, "Boy," you can tell he's, like, feeling good about it. He's going to have the coolest hammer on the job site.
That actually works out well because Estelle got 4 credits. Well, someone else got 4 credits. I just netted 4 credits.
Autumn,
yeah. Everyone netted 4 credits so far.
Oh, no, you got 5.
Yeah, but I had to spend 1.
No, you use some of that mystery metal, so that negates the cost. Again, this is an abstraction.
Oh, okay.
If you use any, I will say that used up a pound of your mystery metal, let's just say.
Okay.
And we'll use that as, like, our base. How much of that do you have in terms of, like, poundage?
12 pounds, I think.
Okay, so you used up one of those. All right, so the other three of you make your way into Fred's shop. You know, it's finally gotten up and running, and he, like, told you guys, you know, like, hey, come by once you get a minute, because, you know, we're going to use some of this metal to make some stuff. So all of you walk into Fred's shop and can kind of make some requests here.
So I actually already mentioned to him last episode what I wanted. I actually need to go talk to Maggie about what I need.
Oh, okay. Can you just real quick, for the sake of it, can you just repeat it one time what you want?
Yes, I mentioned to Fred, Estelle mentioned to Fred that she wanted a flashlight and was wondering if it was possible to do it with the metal that he had as like, you know, a multi-use type of flashlight.
Sure. Okay, cool. What does Juliet want?
So Juliet would like, this is going to sound real dumb, and I don't know if it's actually dumb or if it just sounds dumb. You can kind of let me know. So I think what Juliet wants is like, I don't know if your grandparents have one of those like little grabber tools to grab stuff.
This feels like the most on-brand Juliet thing to ask for.
And so she wants that so that she's able to like collect things and look at things even if they're far away or hard to reach. And I think she would particularly like the metal on the front if it was the special metal. Like, the whole thing does not have to be made out of the special metal. But if the metal on the front glowed, that would be useful. You know, like you stick it into a crevice and you can see what's in the crevice instead of sticking your hand into the crevice.
A light-up articulated grabber. That's pretty cool.
Okay, Caitlin, you said you thought it sounded dumb. I think that's awesome.
Okay, yay.
I like this idea a lot. Yeah, this is fun. This is really fun.
Okay. So that's what I'd like. Is that doable? I don't know much about engineering, to be honest.
Oh yeah, that's definitely doable. I think I can make something with that.
Thank you, Fred. I appreciate it.
Autumn, what's your thoughts?
A spear.
Glowy spear.
Autumn's really straightforward about this. I like that.
So it looks cool at night.
The thing is, I in character, I think Autumn would ask for a walking stick, and I think Fred would also read between the lines and be like, she should have a spear. You know, like, it's, you know, she's like, I want a walking stick that can, like help her balance. And Fred's like, cool, you're getting a spear, so, like, when the monster comes, you can stab it and I can run.
I want a sharpened walking stick. Wink!
I mean, have you used them? The walking sticks are pretty sharp.
Okay. So, the next kind of phase of this, basically, Fred, you got some rolls to make here. So, basically, three rolls, one to make each one of these. And then, also, you guys have credits if there's other things you want to buy, because I know that Mandy has something she wants to buy.
So, Fred, also, it will be actually four rolls, because Fred is making himself an axe.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so go ahead and make those four rolls, just so we can see what's successful, and then we can do any other shopping y'all want to do.
So, I'm trying to figure out exactly what this... How this flashlight, is it just going to be a flashlight, or am I making a flashlight into something else? Because if it's just a flashlight, that's a trinket. That's more simple. I'm just trying to get the most use out of it, you know?
Yeah, I just envisioned it as like a flashlight, but also, I mean, the fact that it would retain heat is like, that's a pretty, like, it's nice to be able to have, hand warmers. So,
well, yeah, it's kind of like a heating pad.
Exactly.
Essentially.
So that's up to Cody if he wants to make that more than a trinket, but that's...
I think in this case, because it's down to crafting it, I'm not as worried about the cost, so it doesn't matter, because it's free either way. So just make a craft roll for it, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. And then I also wanted to check, because if you're imagining like an actual flashlight, that's more of a beam of light that illuminates a specific area. This would kind of just... glow around. Is that what you're looking for?
Either.
Okay.
Yeah. Just like my at the moment, Estelle does not have a light source.
Okay.
Okay. Juliet has a crank flashlight, but she doesn't have like a lantern. Like, you know, when you go camping, you have like your Coleman lantern.
Yeah. I kind of imagine this would be similar to that and also be able to, like I said, have heat. So anybody gets a cramp,
you can snuggle it like a warmie. Right.
All right. Okay, I guess I just go do them one at a time.
Yep,
go for it.
Okay, so going for the Estelle's flashlight. That is a 4.
Nice.
Okay. So basically the way mechanically this works is essentially you have a campfire that you can like if the outside of it's made of a regular material like metal and glass, if you like pop it open, it like exudes heat and light. And then maybe there's like, because like regular lanterns usually have a thing where they have like a shutter on them that you can like shutter off the light, then open it. And it just has to be recharged near a fire.
All right.
So you have a little pop-up campfire, essentially.
Perfect.
Going for Juliet's grabber thingy.
Name pending.
Also a 4.
Nice.
I'm going to call it the glowy grabby until someone else comes up with a name for it.
The glowy grabby?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, you say someone until Caitlin comes up with a name.
Glowy grabby is like the walkie-talkie of this world.
The glowy grabby.
Glowy grabby.
Yeah, so I think your glowy grabby, it's probably like pretty heavy and big, but not like, and the reason I say that is, and we'll talk about a weight for next time. Doesn't matter. The reason I say that is that if it's like can reach pretty far and maybe has like some pretty decent like control on it, it's like something that could be like backpack mounted.
Oh, that's neat. That's real neat.
Yeah. We'll talk about weight for that next time.
Okay. And like range.
You just got Ellie again.
That's true. That's true. You have a thing.
I'm all about the metal appendages.
All right. Ready for the next one?
Yep.
Going for Autumn's walking stick spear.
Totally not a spear.
And I imagine I'm also making the tip out of the special metal because we worked together to get it. I'm making all of these things out with the special metal.
Autumn's cool with that.
Oh, no. That's a 2. No, that's a 2. Yeah, I rolled real bad.
So, you know, like, Autumn, you made this request for, like, a walking stick, wink, and then he hands you just, like, a spear. It's like, it's a spear, and you're like, it's not a grabby glowy. You know, I mean, like, she got a grabby glowy, and it's like a backpack-mounted robot arm, and you're just like, I have a pointed stick.
Right, it's like, I'm looking forward to, like, having basically the spears they have in Black Panther, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
I'll get a metal pole.
Get a metal stick that glows a little bit, and you're like, I should have been more specific.
At a certain point, this is on me. That's fine.
Sorry, Zach. I rolled real bad.
Tell me about it when I roll for extra money and I get a +5 on the roll and I roll a 2 total.
I decided to change when I leveled up. I decided to level up my crafting since that's wholeheartedly what my character is.
Yeah, it makes instead. Sense.
So, I'm rolling at a +5 and that was a 2. It was 3 minuses. All right, so rolling for Fred's axe. That is a 5.
Awesome. So yeah, this is like that awkward thing where, you know, you hand Juliet a pointed stick and then...
Autumn.
Gosh, I'm sorry. You hand Autumn a pointed stick and then you're like, and check out this axe I made. And it's like bearded axe with like a big spike on the back and it's all like carved and beautiful. There's like a mural on the blade. And you're like, look at this cool thing. And she's like, got a pointed stick.
It's very much that, like, Captain America Winter Soldier. It's like, it's not personal. It's like, it feels a little personal.
All right. So, while you all are wandering around the market, is there anything else that anyone wants to buy? Yes, Vinny, what's up?
Real quick. How much of that of my mystery metal did that cost me to do?
Let me get back to you on that before we go into the wilds.
Okay.
I will have an answer for that. I just want to think it through a little bit more.
If you want to say 4 pounds, a pound for each tool.
It'll probably be something like that. I just want to be a little bit more specific about it.
Okay.
Estelle is going to go to Maggie's shop, and she is going to request a harness backpack for Guffy.
When you say a harness backpack, do you mean like he has a pouch that he can carry?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like a harness and they have pockets on either side.
Like saddlebags?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maggie's the one whose husband has like 3D printers everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And
she does the outdoor fabric.
Right. So you walk into this shop and it's like, on the one hand, it sounds like typewriters running because it's like of like 3D printers printing a bunch of junk. And then it also has like that canvasy smell of like leather and canvas, and you see her like in there like hammering needles through leather into canvas, and she looks up and goes, hello, it's so good to see you again, oh my goodness, and she like runs up and gives you a hug and just starts petting Guffy. What can I do for you?
Hey, Maggie. I was just wondering if I could get a harness made for Guffy with, like, pockets on the side.
She, like, looks at Guffy and starts, like, putting her arm around him and is like, so how much of this is none of it. It's just solid dog.
Yeah.
And so she, like, gets out a tape measure and starts, like, measuring around him and is just like, extra, extra large. Extra, extra large.
I can pay for the extra bit.
You know, just call it 3 credits and tell your mom to cast me in the next production. And she, like, winks.
I will not promise anything, but I will recommend you.
Right, no promises, but, you know, help me out.
Maggie, you know I don't do anything on that stage.
Of course not, you'd have nothing to do with it. And she winks again.
Okay, Maggie, thank you.
Great, talk to your mom for me. I'm winking. 3 credits. It's a big dog. Wink.
Estelle leaves the 3 credits.
Great, I'll assume the extra fabric is a part in the next lead. Wink. So yeah, like we could say, you know, whatever, later that day you come back and pick up your harness. She's still winking at you.
Yeah.
All right, anyone else got anything that they want to purchase?
I want a flashlight.
Why?
Because I should have a flashlight.
Okay, we just got 2 light sources so far.
Yeah, until we all need a light source when we get split up and I'm in a cave drugged out of my mind by mushrooms with giant moles coming at me.
I was going to say there is an instance where Autumn was alone in a cave. That did happen last
Fair.
Time.
Okay.
I will say you have an option here. It depends on mechanically how you want it to work. If you want to spend 3 credits... I will say you can, like, use this as something that can add shift to a roll, and it's going to be, like, a big, hefty flashlight, like, basically a mag light, like a club slash thing, you know, or...
Why are you giving me these options? Because I didn't want to spend any money.
Well, you have to spend 1.
Because I want to build a hoverboard.
You have to spend 1 for a trinket.
I know. I want to do as little as possible so I can build a hoverboard. And you're like, but you could have a really cool flashlight.
You can you can spend one. You can spend 1 and just get like a small... You know, it's just like a...
Yeah. I'm going to get the normal flashlight. I just need a light source.
Okay, so... Basically, what you find is one of the, like, glass blowers. Basically, what he does is he takes the guts of old flashlights, like,
real quick,
you know, that they find.
I did make the tip of your spear out of the mystery metal.
I don't think it's the same, though. I don't think they'll be, like, all day. It's not, like, something I can click on.
Okay.
Well, and if it's not near fire for a while, then it will eventually, like, not glow anymore.
Right. Okay. Just want to make sure you're aware of that.
Right. That's kind of my problem. Is like, I could heat it up at the beginning of the day, but, like, if it's, like, after 4 hours, it's no longer going to be a light source.
So, you know, you have this thing that you can, like click on and off, but it's like this kind of cool glass blown thing that's like made one at a time, you know? All right. So anyone else got anything that they want to purchase?
So what is the, like, we have a carrying capacity when we go out in the wilds. What is that limited by?
I believe it's 60 pounds.
40.
40 pounds.
Is that like a hard limit or could we buy a bigger pack to carry more stuff?
It's not a pack limit. It's your ability to carry things is 40 pounds because you're a normal human.
I mean, I do have a +5 athletics, so do I get to carry 50 pounds?
You can carry 42 pounds.
I'll take it.
I won't. How about this? I won't charge you for the flashlight. The flashlight you can carry for free.
All right, I'll take that then. I'll take what I can get. We don't have to narratively do this, but can we say that me and Sheriff Mitchell do a book exchange?
It'll come up, don't worry. All right, so any other purchases that we want to make?
I'm still thinking. Because my thought was if I could get like a bigger backpack to carry more stuff, but that's not a thing.
The weight limit, yeah, is not weight. It's not bag size. It is your ability to carry weight. And I guess, let me put it this way. If you wanted to increase your carry capacity, draft animals or vehicles. In reality, like a seasoned backpacker carries like 50 pounds, not 40. It's not that much more weight. Just like carrying
40 pounds would be a lot for a regular person who's not doing this for a living.
Yeah, like I think 90 pounds is like what infantry in our military has to carry, and that's a freaking lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot to carry. And I could be wrong. I could be wildly wrong on that number, but 90 pounds is like a crazy load, right? So you're not getting that much more either way.
Just a quick search. They say 20% of your body weight So if you're 150 pounds, that's 30 pounds. So 40 pounds is reasonable, is a reasonable number.
Yeah, I mean, I got that number by, like, looking at backpacking stuff online.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that wasn't made up.
I guess I'm just used to D&D rules where it's insane. It's like multipliers of your strength multiplier, and it's insane, but that's also fantasy.
Yep. I mean, if what you want to save up for is a vehicle, that's fine, but, you know.
Hoverboards!
All right, so Vinny, you got to make a decision in, like, the next minute, because otherwise we got to move on.
Yeah, I know.
Can I say narratively, like this is completely narratively, and I'll pay for it when I'm, like, done, but, like, Autumn starts, like, figuring out what parts she needs for, like, a hoverboard, you know, like...
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah.
Since it's, like, I presume it's, like, a more complicated process, like, she buys some of the parts to start, like, putting it together, but, like, it's...
Yeah.
I'll pay the whole cost, you know, like... But narratively, she, like, goes and, like, starts sourcing some of these things out, like, how do I build a board? Like, how do I do this thing?
All right, Vinny, so, yes or no?
I will go with nothing for now. I'll figure it out for next time.
Okay, cool. So, you guys have your day in the market. Y'all are now carrying some new and interesting tools.
And my spear.
Yes, and the spear. I mean, it's still close. It's still pretty cool. So, a few days later, Estelle, you are you're working in your office, you know, and like it's sort of like a little bit of a slow time, and Autumn walks in.
Oh, hey, I know you were here helping move some of the new equipment. Did that get all put into the new, into that office room?
Yes, I think.
Okay, I'll take a look at it when I'm done in here.
You should double check to make sure I moved everything the right way, because there were some things you said not to move, and some things you said to move, and then there was a lot of people moving about, and I got a little confused, because I know what none of this stuff does.
Believe me, it's been busy, so don't worry about it. I'll take a look at it here in a minute, once I get my brain back on.
Are you doing okay? Like, it seems like things are stressful. Like, I'm lucky, and my skills are lifting heavy things, and that's pretty easy to do and not very stressful.
It's just been really busy. Thankfully, there hasn't been a lot of, animals that have been very, very hurt, mostly a few broken bones and stuff, but it's just been busy. It's just everyone needs help at this point.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here to help them.
It is good to be back, even if it is busy. Although I guess we gotta stop looking at going back out at some point.
Right. And so I've been thinking that we got off on the wrong foot a little bit, I think. I unfairly was projecting some things on you.
You want to take a seat and we can hang out for a second?
Sure. I cannot just awkwardly lean in the doorway. So, I haven't told anyone, but I didn't really tell my family before I left. And, like, I had my reasons, and they're probably not the best, but... My parents were a little bit naggy, for lack of a better term, and forceful, and I just felt like I needed to get some space and not be mommed. And then I came on a boat to the middle of nowhere, and I met someone who is a mom immediately, who's a really good mom, but I might have then, like, projected a little bit and not been as kind as I should have been. You do a lot of good work, both, like, in a group, but, and like as a mom, but I might have been projecting a little bit and not wanting to be mommed, even if you weren't always doing that. And I want to say I'm sorry.
Well, thank you for saying that. I am very sorry if I came across as momming you. I certainly did not mean it. Actually, I've been feeling pretty bad because I thought I was being a little bit cold to you. Like, I'm very used to being very independent and very on my own. So in a very good way, you can be very outgoing. I just don't always respond very well to that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I am a little bubbly at times, and I think about my actions, but from the outside, I can see why people think I just leap into things, and that can be off-putting.
You know, I would be lying if I said that that also didn't worry me. You know, you can be a little reckless. And not that that's like inherently a bad thing, but it does make me a little nervous. So I think that's just something I'm going to have to get used to.
Well, at least you got me and Matthew to both help you learn that.
Yeah.
Now that I think of it, do you want me to help Matthew, like, not get in shape, because that feels like I'm telling everyone, but, like, do some, like, training stuff with him? Like, I was a volunteer firefighter for a bit, so I kind of know.
That's right. You did say that you were. You know, I recently had a discussion with Mitchell that he might need some help with getting these kids ready for stuff like buildings falling down, and that might not be a bad thing to do.
I can definitely talk with him about it, and even if he doesn't want it, I can talk to
him. I mean, if I had my choice, I wouldn't let Matthew do it, but
I mean, I get that, but I don't think you can really stop him. Not as in, even if you could stop him, I don't think it would stop him. Not that you I'm sorry. I'm messing this up.
No, I think it's something that I am just going to have to work on coming to terms with. So, oh boy.
So, obviously, no kids. Not a thing I know about. But I think you're doing great.
Well, thank you. I definitely appreciate that. And Estelle kind of like, she's got like a hand on her desk and is kind of like pushing some of the paperwork around. And then she sits up straight. Oh, I totally forgot. Hang on. And she dives into a drawer and pulls out a piece of paper. So you'll have to forgive me. I did stop filling this out. And I am going to need you to double check some spelling things. But I think you might want to take a look at this. And she hands you a form for a new animal discovery that she's planning on submitting with the name Floating Babilius. I know you wanted to name them Bobs, but the thing about this community is like, you have to pretend to make it sound scientific so that they'll accept it.
So, like, Autumn, like, tears of blue. Thank you, Estelle. Also, Autumn went to college to be an editor, so she could actually edit this stuff. I will look at this right away. Before I go, can I ask you something?
Go for it.
Hypothetically, if I were to be going on a date where I learned to swim with someone, what should I wear?
You are asking the wrong person.
I have 3 friends in town, and someone I'm going on a date with, and then there's another guy who's like 10 years younger than me that's really into me, and I cannot ask him this question.
I don't think I've been on a date in, how old's Matthew? 16? 16 years?
I don't know if Juliet would be able to answer this question or feel any more comfortable.
Okay, maybe the 3 of us need to get together and pool our answers.
I've never been swimming. Like,
wait, you've never been swimming?
No, like, I grew up in a desert. You know where I live, like.
Well, I knew it was a symb. I didn't remember which symbiab it was, but.
It was the oasis, so we had the oasis, but it was, like, different. You know, like the ocean versus like a little pond, you know, like, and like, honestly, that water is reclaimed water that we use for like drinking. So like, it's not really like a swimming area in the same way.
Okay. Yeah. I think, we're definitely going to sit down with Juliet and we are going to take stock of our options. And between the 3 of us, we can figure this out.
She is going to be so happy to make us like 45 lists. And by us, I mean me. Wait, do you have a date?
I do not have a date.
Okay, just want to double check.
I just need you guys to understand. There is now going to be 7 in-town episodes where one of them, I guess, is a bikini shopping episode. because I'm just ashamed of myself now. Great. Thank you for that. As a GM, I want to thank you for having to have me now describe what Willow wears while swimming, because I didn't really think about that. Like, I was just going to brush over, you know, how stringy her bikini is, but I guess she wears a chainmail bikini because, you know, we're going for the cliches. So thank you. I want to say thank you as the GM for making me now have to deal with that. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.